To be able to shape your future, you have to be ready and able to change your paradigm. Joel Barker wrote that in his book, Paradigms. It's so true. Paradigms literally control most of our lives. Hello, this is Bob Proctor, and I want to talk to you about paradigms because this is a very, very critical part of anybody's success puzzle. Paradigms, what are they? You might be asking, is it a buzzword for the information age? Absolutely not. Paradigms could be controlling virtually every move you make. When you understand how to build a paradigm that will lawfully guarantee the progressive realization of your worthy ideal, a paradigm to replace the one presently controlling your life, you'll have opened a door to a brand new world. Barker said, to ignore the power of paradigms to influence your judgment is to put yourself at significant risk when exploring the future. And again, to be able to shape your future, you have to be ready and able to change your paradigm. Culture is founded on habits. It's work practices, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations, otherwise known as paradigms. Armed with paradigms, you approach and react to the world around you, interpreting what you see and experience according to your shared understandings and those culturally determined guidelines. A paradigm, in a sense, tells you that there is a game, what the game is, and how to play it successfully. A paradigm shift, then, is a change to a new game or a new set of rules. And when the rules change, the whole world will appear to be changing. Now, ideally, any changes to an organization should be implemented simultaneously with the change in attitude of the members. In other words, the people's paradigms should be shifted at the same time the organization begins its transformation. Now, you know that that's not happening. You're seeing all kinds of changes take place on a corporate level. There's people that did exactly what they were told to do. They went to school. They got a good education. They went and they got a job in a big company. They were loyal. And the company said, you give us loyalty, we'll give you security. After 15 or 18 years of loyal service, a person goes in one day to find out that they're out on the street. And we've got a lot of names for it now. It's reengineering, downsizing, firing. Call it whatever you want. The person's out on the street. Now, they're programmed to live one way, and they found out that the corporation changed, but the corporation didn't help them change. Now, it's unfortunate that most of the organizations in the world are not preparing their people to make the personal paradigm shifts that are necessary. There's numerous individuals who lack the understanding required to adapt to the changes that are being forced upon them. I mentioned on a previous part of the puzzle that we're not taught how to earn money in school. We're not taught how to make decisions. As a matter of fact, we're taught very little about ourselves. Do you know we can go right through the educational system and come out and not know who we are? When I was 26 and I met Ray Stanford, he was the guy that saw something in me that I couldn't see in myself. I really thought I was my name. You know, if you said, who are you? I'd say, I'm Bob Proctor. And I thought that that's as far as it goes. And then I looked at my body and I think, well, this is me. But I think, you know, you're a lot more than your name and you're certainly an awful lot more than your body. Well, we've got to start to understand who we are. I think we have to understand how we work, what makes us tick. Mike Bash is an interesting guy. He started Federal Express with Fred Smith. He said something that stuck in my mind because I was under the impression that people resist change. And Mike pointed out people do not resist change when it's their choice. Now, there's a big difference there. You will not resist change when it's your choice. Now, the objective of the success puzzle is to get you to make that choice, to get you to make a decision, to make dramatic shift in your life, make the big paradigm shift take place. Well, Mike said, we don't resist change when it's our choice, and he's right. He said, we resist being changed. I thought, wow, is that ever true? From the time I was a little kid, people were trying to force me into changing. I was doing things I didn't want to do. It was giving me results I didn't want to get, and I didn't know why I was doing them. Never entered my mind that there was a control panel in my mind that was literally controlling my life, nor did it enter the mind of any of the people that were raising me. Now look over on page 40. You might be wondering, what are paradigms? Paradigms are habits. It's that simple. Paradigm is a multitude of habits. And get this, 99 times out of 100, they're other people's habits. Isn't that beauty? Other people's habits are controlling you. What kind of food do you like? You like the kind of food your mother or your dad cooked. You like the kind of food that you were raised with. My wife was raised in southern United States. I was raised in northern Canada. Around 20 years ago, we moved from Atlanta to Toronto. And I said to her one day, I said, you know, I'd like a really good feed of turnip. Now, when I said that, I had an image in my mind. I saw turnip as my grandmother made it when I was a little boy, because she pretty well raised me. And the turnip was hot. There was steam coming off it. It was mashed. There was a big glob of butter melting on it and pepper. Linda says, okay, we can get a turnip. So I get over the produce and I picked it up. And she says, what are you doing with that? She says, I'm going to eat it. She says, I'm not eating that. I said, why not? Well, she says, that's the root of the turnip. We give that to the pigs. I said, well, what do you eat? She said, we eat the green of the turnip. I said, well, isn't that wild? I said, we give that to the pigs. Now, there's your paradigms for you. In the southern United States, they eat the green, and they give the root to the pigs. In northern Ontario, we eat the root, we give the green to the pigs. We could have been eating the whole turnip all that time. Now, here's the strange part. She still won't eat the root, and I still won't eat the greens. Why? Well, we'd have to go through too much of a change, and it's not worth it. The reward isn't big enough. Now, when the reward's big enough, then you'll make the change. Now, look at the top of page 40. Paradigms can be likened to a program that has been installed in your brain. A program that was very likely written by people who loved you, good people. People who sincerely wanted nothing but the best for you. But they couldn't give you what they didn't have, could they? Horace said, Nemo dat quod non abat. Freely translated, you cannot give what you have not got. The people who were writing your program were giving you what they had been given, what they believed to be true. And, of course, that was the same situation with me and with your next-door neighbor. We're all in the same boat. Unfortunately, they had no idea of what they were doing. The limiting beliefs that they were writing into your program that could control the remainder of your life. Looking back from a more educated perspective, it's obvious the focus of the people who were raising you were primarily locked into your physical well-being. They had little or no knowledge of what was happening to you mentally. It was generally believed that if you were clean and warm and well-fed, the job was being properly done. You'd say, well, you know, a lot of people understand the mind. Very few people understand the mind. You can look in some of our promotion material. John Mike, a child psychiatrist out of Tampa, who's written a good book, Brilliant Babies, Powerful Adults, he pointed out that I taught him more about the mind in 1 year than he had learned in 4 years of medical school and 5 years of psychiatric training. Why is this overlooked? Well, it's overlooked because there's so few people understand it. There is a spiritual transition taking place in the world, and we must understand this information. We've got to start to take charge of our life, and we've got to live in harmony with the law. Now, take a look at the graphic here on page 40. Now, you saw that in the very first piece of the puzzle on what is success. This is where the baby arrives on the scene, and the baby's mind is like a cup. You can dump anything in it. And, of course, that's what happens. We dump anything in it. Now, how were you raised? What were the people thinking that raised you? What were they saying? What were they doing? Because their world was becoming your world. We say, well, I mean, just their thinking. Well, let's take a look at thought. Thoughts are a very real force of energy. Thought waves are the most potent waves that there is. They'd make the laser beam look foolish. Our thought travels 930,000 times faster than the sound of our voice. No other force or power in the universe yet known is as great or as quick. It is a proven fact scientifically that the mind is a battery force, the greatest of any known element. Now, that came from a wonderful book, Working with the Law, by Raymond Halliwell. I have a mentor group that we have, a mentor study program, and our group is studying that book presently. It's a marvelous book. Now, look over on page 40 and 41. Just flip your eyes back and forth. When we are little, in our little life, we are programmed by the thoughts around us. But I am going to suggest that you go back even prior to your arrival here in the planet. How did you get here? Have you ever thought about it? Well, let's think. There's a little particle of energy from Mom and a little particle of energy from Dad. They came swimming along and just like that, they joined together. They resonated. They became one. And then there's an attractive force set up. And 280 days later, you arrive. You see, there's a law of gender. The law of gender decrees all seeds have a gestation or an incubation period. And the seed for a baby is approximately 280 days. Have you ever asked yourself why you look so much like your relatives? Do you know in each little particle of energy, your mother's paradigm and your father's paradigm was locked up in every little molecule of their being? And so when they shared that and joined it together to form the nucleus of you, you took on all their conditioning, their likes, their dislikes, their prejudices. This is called genetic conditioning. And don't downplay it. If you and I can go out and learn today how to put a million bits of information on the head of a pin, surely God could do what I've just suggested. Well, God's been doing it for a long time. You're programmed genetically, and then you're programmed environmentally. That programming all in place, that conditioning all in place, now flip over onto page 41. Now, your subconscious mind has been programmed. Take and draw a funnel coming into your conscious mind and just put energy is, because there's an energy flowing into you. It's neither good nor bad. It just is. It's flowing into your consciousness. What are you going to make out of it? Let's go back, use money as a common denominator again. Do you think a person that's earning $50,000 a year is going to take that thought power and give serious consideration to earning $50,000 a month? You know they're not. Could they? Of course they could. And it wouldn't even be difficult, but they've got to think it first. And you see, the paradigm dictates the vibration we're in, so the paradigm controls our thinking. Well, we have to change that. That's what I changed almost 40 years ago and didn't understand what I did. It took me 9 years to figure it out. When that power flows in, you can think anything you want with it. One person's looking at a beautiful automobile, and they're using their intellectual factors and that power to think of all kinds of reasons of why they can't buy the automobile. Now, another individual is using exactly the same mental faculties. They're taking exactly the same power, and they're thinking of how to buy the whole dealership. Now, look over on page 42. At the bottom of the page, we say, attitude is the composite of your thoughts, feelings, and actions, and your attitude produces your results. It goes from thoughts to feelings to actions to results. Your conscious mind deals with wants. Your subconscious mind will accept anything you give to it, but if it's not in harmony with the paradigm will try and kick it out. Now, whatever you impress must be expressed with and through the body, because the body is the instrument. So you see this magnificent power that I refer to as pure, unadulterated spirit flowing to and through you. And you can make anything out of it you want. Now look over on page 43. There's a beautiful word. It's called praxis, P-R-A-X-I-S. Praxis is the integration of belief with behavior. Well, you may think everybody integrates their belief with their behavior. Do they? Well, why don't we check on you? Do you believe that if you got the proper assistance that you could multiply your income? Do you believe that? You're probably saying, yeah, I believe that. Do you believe that if a student in school were given the proper tutoring, they could go from a C and D average to an A and B average? Do you believe that? You're probably saying, yeah, I believe that. Do you believe that we can accomplish anything we make up our mind to accomplish? I say, yeah, I believe that. Well, now let's ask ourselves, is our behavior in sync with these beliefs? Because you know something, with most people, it isn't. They say, I believe it, but their behavior would indicate that they don't believe it at all. Our belief system is based on just on our thinking, and it isn't in harmony with our paradigms more often than not. Now, if you believe something, you want to start to step out and do it. Really make it happen. So what we're really doing is we want to make a decision that we're going to integrate some of our beliefs with our behavior. All of them? Probably not. Are you going to change your entire paradigm? Probably not. But paradigm is a multitude of habits. Let's start working with a couple of them. I assisted my wife when I first met her to alter her paradigm. She was earning $24,000 a year. That's what she was programmed to do. Do you know, a year later, she was earning $495,000? Because I showed her how to alter the paradigm. I'd say, do you believe you can do this? And she'd say, yes. And I'd say, do you believe you can do that? And she'd say, yes. And I'd say, well, why don't you do it? Well, I don't know. Well, I know, because you weren't programmed to do it. So what we did is show her how to change that. She changed it and her income took off like a rocket. Can you do that? Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, page 44 reveals one of the greatest stumbling blocks anyone will ever run up against when they're trying to improve the quality of their life. And our promise to you was that you would find the missing pieces and you'd be able to start to live your ideal life. And you really can. Now, look at the stick person on page 44, and I'm going to ask you to put the little antennae there. Remember we had the antennae for the sensory factors, how you can see, hear, smell, taste, and touch? Draw those on top of that stick person. Here is part of what you and I have been programmed to do. We have been programmed to look at our present results, and our present results will dictate what we're capable of doing. We look at our present results as our source of supply. Now, you may be wondering, what do you mean by that? Well, let's suppose you wanted to go and buy something. What would you do? You would look at your financial situation. You'd look in the bank or wherever you keep your money. And if the money wasn't there, you'd think, well, I can't have it. Now, the truth is, you can have anything you want. If you're living an ideal life, money should never stop you. And it doesn't have to stop you. Money comes from one infinite source. We all get paid from the universe, and we get exactly what we ask for. But you see, as little children, we are programmed to go by what we hear, see, smell, taste, touch. The parent says, will you listen to what I'm telling you? Will you look at this? And so we're literally programmed to go by present results. We go to school, and what do? They give us a report card with marks indicating what we've been doing in the past. And they bring our conscious attention to it. And they also bring our conscious attention to where we make our mistakes. What do we do when we leave school? Well, we go into business. And what do we have then? We have financial statements. And we look at the financial statements. What are the financial statements? The financial statements are nothing but history. What do we do when we go to the doctor? The doctor takes a photograph of our body. What is the body? The body is the manifestation of the mind. The body is the last stage of creation. And they show us the x-ray. And we're letting the physical body now control the thinking. We are programmed to let the material world work on the higher world. Now, if you talk to any engineer, they'll tell you, if you're working with electricity, you must work from a higher to a lower potential. You can't go contrary to that. Why don't we do that with our mind? Well, we're not taught that. So here's a graphic illustration of what's wrong. A person takes the time and they design what would be a worthy ideal for them. This is really how I would love to live. And they take the time and they do it and they get that piece in place. And then what do? Well, they block it out because that's the new dream. That's the dream. And they let the reality of the present results control their thinking. So now let's go to the top. Here we say results cause thoughts. Paradigm agrees with those thoughts. New thoughts reinforce old conditioning or the paradigm, which produces the same results. I've mentioned on numerous occasions that I could go into the head office of RE/MAX in Denver. I could take a roster of thousands of names of agents, and I could go and sit down with somebody at a monitor, and I could start giving them names, and they would tell me, with a respectable amount of accuracy, how much that person's going to sell that year. I could be sitting with them in January. Now, RE/MAX have the 100% Club. If you're in over $100,000 a year, you join the 100% Club. I could go through the names in January, and I'll say, well, this person be in the 100% Club this year. Well, this person, well, this person. And I'll hear, no, 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 yep, oh, yeah, they'll qualify by April. Go and ask any school teacher. The school teacher will tell you that they can pretty well decide who's going to pass and who's not in a class. We are so predictable. Stop and think of people you know. They keep doing the same things over and over again. We eat the same food. We go to the same restaurants. We wear the same clothes. Why? We're programmed. It's the paradigm. Now, the paradigm is a controlling force. So here we say results cause thoughts. The paradigm supports and agrees with those thoughts. You feel very comfortable. You might not like what you're getting, but you feel comfortable with it. What's feeling? Conscious awareness of vibration. The paradigm supports and agrees with those thoughts. And then the new thoughts that we've created by virtue of the fact of studying our present results reinforce that old paradigm or that old conditioning. What did Emerson say? The only thing that can grow is the thing you give energy to. And what's that old conditioning do? It produces the same results. See, people get the same results over and over and over and over and over again. When I was a little kid, I was doing what I didn't want to do. My mother would say, why'd you do that? And I'd say, I don't know. And she'd say, what do you mean you don't know? You know better. I know. Why'd you do it? I don't know. And I did know better. See, the knowing is in the consciousness. The paradigm controls the behavior. I joined the Navy, every commanding officer. Proctor, why did you do that? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? You know better. I know. Why'd you do it? I don't know. I'm doing what I didn't want, giving me results I didn't want to get, and I'm doing it anyway. How often do you do that? Think of this for a moment. What did we say a paradigm was? Multitude of habits. You can be in the habit, and you probably are, of letting your present resources dictate your thinking. You mustn't do that. Look over on page 45. On the left-hand graphic, we see the paradigm and everyday thoughts. Now, look at the bottom of the page. We have poor, average, good, exciting, exceptional. Under everyday thoughts, that's what we've been doing in the past, right up to this point. What has our thinking given us? How about our mind? What kind of state is it in? How about our body? What about our family? What about society? What are we doing for society? How about our finances? Are you earning the amount of money you need to provide the things you want to live the way you choose to live? If you're not, you should be. I have said on many, many occasions I could show anyone how to become a millionaire. There's no trick to it. It's a very, very simple process. Well, what is your thinking doing for you financially? How about the spiritual side of your personality? I'm not talking about religion. Religion studies spirit. I'm talking about the spiritual side of you. That's the big side of you. Are you into that? Do you understand that? Then take a look. How do I spend my days? These are exercises that you've got to do. You've got to take the time to do them. You see, writing causes thinking, and it's going to make us acutely aware of where we're at and what we're doing. Now, flip over to the right side. Here we have our worthy ideal. The worthy ideal is not in harmony with the paradigm. And when you go to get emotionally involved with that worthy ideal, the old paradigm is going to play games with you. It's going to start telling you why it won't work, why you can't do it, and makes you aware of what you've got physically. We must not let that happen. We must know if we hold the dream in our mind and plant the dream in our heart, then it's going to work. Now think about it. You've got to have a dream. Now flip over onto page 46. We're going to talk here about creating our own paradigm. When you begin to examine your attitudes It is vitally important that you remain objective. Otherwise, you risk the possibility of rationalizing away your success. I mean, I could go back and think of when I was sitting in the fire hall. Do you know, no one had quit that job. I was the second person since 1934 to quit. Best job I ever had. Everybody thought I was crazy quitting, and I was listening to them. What was I doing? I was rationalizing away my success. What was my success? My success would have been the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. I had a magnificent big image in my mind, and I was losing it. Why was I losing it? Well, I was rationalizing. What is rationalizing? Rationing lies to the mind. That's exactly what you're doing. Now, you've got to create your own paradigm. I have created an OAG. Any of you that fly know that that's an official airline guide. Well, this is an objective attitude gauge, so we've switched it around just a little bit. Now, I want you to look at it. This gauge could be used to measure any one of a number of things. It is a graphic illustration of anything that it just is. On the left is negative, on the right is positive. Now, if we were going to put down anything, you'd have to have a circle to do this properly. But if the left is negative, the right is positive, what is center? It just is. I'm in a recording studio right now. I'm in a room. This room is neither large nor small. The room just is. You may be in a car. Your car is neither large nor small. It just is. Nothing is either good or bad. It just is. And it's going to remain that way until you invoke a law of relativity and you relate to something else. Now, we say here this is an orderly universe. Everything moves in a very precise way. We refer to this precision as the laws of the universe. Now, one of the laws is the law of polarity. Everything, every condition, every circumstance in our life has two sides. But in the truth, everything just is. Now, your focus is going to determine whether it's positive or negative. Mentally, take a snapshot of the following areas of your life, showing your present results and the results you want. Now, you can do this in your mind. Your mind will flip back and forth in a millisecond. When you get into the mind, you lose all time and space. But we're going to flip from what we are, where we are, to what we want. Now, your present results are the expression of your paradigm and are rarely in harmony with what you want. Where do you want to be at mentally? Where do you want to be at physically? What kind of family relationships do you want? What do you want to do for society? How about your finances? I often say you'll be amazed at how much free time you have when you never have to think about money. What about spiritually? Now, you see, what we want to do is we look at this gauge and we think wants versus what is. Now, what is probably goes to the left-hand side of the is. What we want is probably to the right side. Now, to the left-hand side, relative to what we've got, what we want probably is much better. So we'll say what we want is on the right side and what we've got is on the left side. Our objective is to move that over. Mentally place your snapshot on your objective attitude gauge, and you'll find the two images, present results and wants, will register in two different places. Your objective will be to get the conditioned results to move into line with what you want. Now, to accomplish the desired results, a paradigm shift is absolutely essential. Nothing is either good or bad, except your thinking makes it so. Now, how are we going to make it? Let's look on page 47. We're talking about our desired paradigm. Outlined below are statements which clearly describe the paradigm I will create, which will produce the desired results that I have imaged in the following areas of my life. Now, I'll give you an example. On finances, as I said, I was earning $4,000 a year and I owed six. I had no hope of ever being out of debt because I knew I couldn't go for 18 months without spending some money, and I would have to go for 18 months without spending a cent if I stayed where I was. So I had to see myself in a better place. Now, I've got an affirmation now, and it describes the paradigm that I hold in my mind insofar as finances is concerned. Now, that's at the box on the lower left-hand side of page 47, and I'm going to share it with you. I am so happy and grateful now that money comes to me in increasing quantities through multiple sources on a continuous basis. That's the image that's locked in my mind. And of course, that's what's happening. Now let's take the mind. When I first started to study this material, I was very shy, quiet, and withdrawn. That is my genetic nature. I'm a very cerebral person. And I had difficulty meeting a stranger. I got to a point, I had been studying this for 8 or 9 years, and I was listening to other people speak on this subject, and many things that they were saying I knew were not accurate, and I had the strongest urge to teach this. But I was shy. I couldn't stand up in front of an audience. What was the problem? The problem was in my mind. The problem was my perception of who I was and what I was, and I was worried about what other people thought. I had to change that. And so you build a concept of confidence. And I would see myself standing in front of large audiences, and I would be inspiring them with this information. I still get excited about this information. And I always mention that I've got license to brag about all the information I use because none of it's mine. I have just been involved in massive research for 40 years, but I would get an idea, I would take it out and I'd test it, and then I would share it with somebody else. And I'd say, here, do this. Now, this is what you have to do. Go back to the gauge on page 46, your OAG, and you build a picture in your mind covering these six areas of your life of where it's at right now. And then, what do I want? Now, your objective is to move where you're at right now over to meet the want. So what do? Well, we focus on what we want. How do you get rid of the dark in a room? You get rid of the dark by turning on the light. Let's suppose you're in a room and you're cold. How do you get rid of the cold? You build a fire. You don't get rid of the cold by thinking of cold and heat. You don't get rid of the dark by thinking of dark and light. When you build one, the other's gone. One is the absence of another. So if we want confidence, we've got to get rid of insecurity. If we want prosperity, we've got to get rid of poverty. And so we start to focus on what we want. And we don't spend any time thinking of how that old paradigm was built. We've got an understanding of it. That's good enough. Now, let's sit down and write out how we want to see ourselves. Now, here are six statements of how I am. And that's the way I am now. I build this affirmation. It's a positive statement. It's in the present tense. It's about myself. And then I focus on that. It won't be long until those ideas are fixed in your subconscious mind and you will have transformed your life. Don't be afraid to look at the way things are, and don't think they're bad or good. Everything just is. Nothing is bad or good except your thinking makes it so. Ralph Waldo Trine. This is Bob Proctor. Thank you.